Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you joined us today, and we have a wonderful topic, a very critical topic to discuss here today. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your mercy, your love, your compassion, your forgiveness for us, your patience with us, Lord, and long-suffering. And I pray right now that we will humble ourselves before you, Lord, and confess our sins to you. Let's do that, folks. And Lord, that we will beg you for your forgiveness and your cleansing. Let's do that, folks. And that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that he will illuminate our hearts and our minds to your word today, and also that he might apply it to our hearts with deep conviction. And we ask this in your name, and we also pray for the folks in Ukraine. We ask, Lord, for your mercy and your compassion for them, particularly our brothers and sisters in Christ. But more than that, we ask that you would bring many people to Christ, and that you would empower the witness of our brothers and sisters in the middle of all of this suffering. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're witnessing for you that many people would come to know you in a real and personal way. So God, we lay Ukraine at your feet, and we ask for a cessation of hostilities, and we ask for your deep mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. Now, at Lon Solomon Ministries, what do we teach? Say it with me. We teach what? The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do today, of course, using the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're going to talk about a topic today that is so critical for our walk with Jesus Christ, and yet it doesn't get talked about very much. And this is, again, what I say about expository preaching, that expository preaching, going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, forces us to have to confront everything the Lord said, not just the things we want to talk about, and to grapple with difficult passages, not just skip them and make it easy on ourselves. No, no. And the passage we have today is all about the praise of men and our tendency to love and want the praise of men and women in our life as followers of Christ, and how dangerous that is. And last week, we talked about the four witnesses in John chapter 5 that Jesus mentions to his deity and his messiahship, but we left the fifth one out that I meant to mention last week, and I got so excited, and I had it written in my notes, but I got so excited, I actually forgot to mention it, and that is, of course, the resurrection. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verse 4. It says that Jesus, look at this, verse 4, is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. So there's really five witnesses, the resurrection being the fifth one. So I wanted to add that this week. But one of the ones in John chapter 5 that Jesus mentions is the scriptures. And we'll pick up right there, John chapter 5, verse 39. You, talking about Jewish people, you search the scriptures, the Old Testament, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they, the scriptures are they, which testify of me. You know, every Jewish community values, there's a value placed on people being in that community, men who know the scripture well, the Old Testament, and who know the writings of the rabbis, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Talmud well. And if you go to Jerusalem, if you go to the Wailing Wall, you'll see men there, most of them with long beards, curls, black clothes, black hats. They spend all day there praying and then going and sitting at their study carrels and studying the scripture and the rabbinic commentary on the scripture. And many of them are supported, like a missionary would be supported, except they're not missionaries. They're Bible studiers. They're becoming experts in the Bible, they think. Why? Because there's a value that the Jewish community places on having people who know the scripture that well. That's what Jesus is talking about. You think in them, by studying them like this, you have eternal life. Watch, verse 40, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life. I'm there in all the messianic prophecies, Jesus says, but you won't come to me. So sad. So sad. Now, here's where he goes on to our passage for today. I do not receive honor from men, Jesus said. And that's good, because Jesus didn't get honor from men very often. The only place I can think of where the honor from men was given to Jesus in some kind of a magnificent way was at the triumphal entry, where he rides down the Palm Sunday road on the Mount of Olives and across the Kidron Valley and in through the Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate, into the city. And everybody was in the street yelling, Hosanna to the King, to the Messiah, the Son of David. 5 days later, many of those people were in the streets of Jerusalem yelling, Crucify him! Crucify him! Man is so fickle. Man is so undependable. And Jesus didn't care about the praise of man because he knew how undependable and fickle it was. And he didn't get it very often either. Jesus said, I don't care about the honor of men. I came to do my Father's will, not to get honor from men. Now he goes on, verse 42, but I know you, he says, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. That's how he knows the love of God is not in them. Remember, several weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Jesus said, if you love God, you would love me, for I came from him. I proceeded out from him. I'm the second person in the Godhead. If you love him, you would love me. Because you don't love me, I know you don't love him. This is what he's talking about. Okay, and he says, but if another comes, verse 43, in his own name, not the name of God the Father, him you will receive. Now, what's Jesus talking about here? Well, he could just be talking in general, or that human beings are able to gain an amazing following, and no matter how much they are doing it for their own glory and their own honor. It's amazing how people will follow. Music stars, movie stars, politicians, amazing. Or he could be talking here about the Antichrist and how at the end of the age he's going to come and basically the whole world's going to follow him, and he comes in his own name. But many, the whole world, except for those people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, are going to follow him. He could be talking about that. Remember that Daniel said the Antichrist will set up his own image in a wing of the temple. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, at the end of verse 3, it says that the man of perdition will come. This is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is legitimately worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, proclaiming himself to be God. Here's a guy who comes in his own name, and the whole world follows him and receive the mark of the beast, except for a very few believers. He could be talking about that. Either way, Jesus says that when you're not interested in following God and you don't care about the praise of man, you open yourself up to following somebody who comes in his own name instead and being deceived. Now, final verse, verse 44, how can you believe, Jesus said, who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only God. Wow. This verse sets up a dichotomy between those who seek the honor and the praise of God and those who seek the honor and the praise of man. They set up an antipathy between these two things, and they say, this verse says, Jesus says, you can't have both. It's not possible. These two things are contrary to one another. And he said that very same thing back in the Sermon on the Mount. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6, very familiar verse. Look what Jesus said here. He said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means money, material things, material wealth, material gain. And part of material wealth and gain is not just strictly money, but also the praise of men and the adoration and adulation of human beings. And Jesus said, you cannot serve them both. You'll hate one and love the other. Sooner or later, they will come into conflict, and you cannot serve them both. You can't. He repeats this same idea in Matthew chapter 10. And these verses were so important to me when I came to Christ. He says in verse 36, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. When we come to Christ and we start sharing the gospel with our family, even our closest, standing for Christ, even our closest relatives will turn against us. Look, then Jesus says, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, if your mother and father love you and you can stand for Christ, wonderful. But if you stand for Christ and your mother, you lose the praise of your mother and father. You lose the adulation of your son and your daughter. I have to come first, not the praise of men. This is what he's saying. It's one or the other. Only one master. Now, is there anything wrong with the praise of man? No. Is anything wrong with being lifted up and being honored by men? No. If men say nice things about you or give you rewards or some kind of award, is that bad or sinful? No. No. All that Jesus is saying is that can't be the highest goal of your life. I have to be the highest goal of your life. Pleasing me has to be the highest goal of your life, not pleasing man. And when the two come into conflict, and they will, you have to choose me over the praise of man. In other words, when the day is over, we want to hear well done, good and faithful servant from the Lord and not from people. And Paul mentions this, makes this clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution from men and women. Why? Because if we desire to do what is right and holy and Christ-like, our very behavior and our very lifestyle is going to bring conviction to those who want to do what's not holy and what's not pleasing to Christ and what's not godly. And so there's going to be immediate conflict. You understand? Okay. Jesus is warning us about the praise of men, that it is a snare, that it will bring us down in our walk with God. And you know, we can see this right in John's gospel. Look at chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, the Bible says, even among the rulers of the Jews, many believed in him, Jesus. But watch. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him openly, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If you remember in John chapter 9, we talked about it. We'll get there, where the man born blind, the rabbis did and asked his parents, was this man really born blind? And they refused to answer. They said, ask him, he's old enough to answer for himself. And why did they refuse to answer? Why were they intimidated? Look at this. It says, John chapter 9, verse 22, his parents spoke these words because they feared the Jews, because the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he, Jesus, was the Messiah, they would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. The fear of man, desiring the praise of man. As we said, it's a snare and a trap to us in our walk with Christ. And if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, we've got to swear off the praise of men as our highest goal, and we've got to become numb to that. If we get it, we get it. If we don't get it, we don't need it. Look what Paul said about himself in this regard. This is why he was such an amazing servant of Christ. He says it in 1 Thessalonians. He says, when I came to Thessalonica on my missionary journey, look what he says here. He says, but verse 4, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak the gospel, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. The truth is, if we want to please men and women, we'll never preach the gospel, because the gospel says apart from Christ, people are going to hell, and that people are sinners, and that they are estranged from a holy God. People don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. You want to please man, you don't preach the gospel the way it's supposed to be preached. That's the point. For neither at any time, verse 5, did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, for greed. God is our witness. Nor, verse 6, did we seek glory from men, neither from you nor from others, which we might have made demands for as apostles of Christ. We could have come in town, say, look at us, we're the big shots, we're the apostles, and Paul says, we didn't do any of that. It's not how we lived. We live to please God, who tests our hearts and knows what's really in there and who we're really out to please. This is why the book of Proverbs says, listen to this, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man brings a snare, desiring the favor and the praise of men brings a snare and will trip us up in our Christian life and cause us to make some bad mistakes and decisions. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to ask our most important question, and you know what it is. Come on with me. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah. And you know what we say to be studying the Word of God. What do we say? How sweet it is. You bet. Now, what's the so what here? Friends, the so what is what the book of Proverbs just said, that the fear of man brings a snare. The love of human praise and the desire for it can bring a snare into our life and cause us, as I just said, to make some bad decisions and bad choices. You know, I remember years ago, we had a staff member at McLean, when I was at McLean Bible Church, who was very critical to our growth as a church. I mean, we grew from 1,000 to 3,000 to 5,000 to 10,000 to 12, 15,000 people. And there's this chart that comes out every year in a Christian magazine called 100 Largest U.S. churches. Somebody laminated this for me and gave it to me. I don't even know who it was, and I don't even know why I still got it. You say you got it because you love the praise of man. McLean is on here, and your name is on here. Okay, I understand that. That's not why I kept it. Anyway, we're number 24, right here, McLean Bible Church. You come across Vienna, Virginia, and then says Pastor Lon Solomon. There's my name, right there, in National Magazine. There it is. And this person on our staff was critical to our growth. And he was found to be doing some things that really were not Christ-like and were not in keeping with the way God wanted us to live and with what we preach to our people. And so we had to make a decision. Do we let him go? Because he had no desire to repent of these things. He made that clear to us. Or do we sweep it under the rug and keep him so that our growth doesn't get stunted or reversed? And I have to tell you that in my deepest heart, in my sinful nature, down there was at least the temptation to not let him go for fear of reversing our growth. He had a huge following among our people who would probably, many of them, leave. And maybe we wouldn't be able to continue making the impact we were making because he was a very public part of our ministry. And I was tempted in my sinful heart to say, oh, man, you know, we'll go off the 100 largest church list and maybe. And what was that in my heart? That was worrying about the praise of men. And it was wrong. Now, we ended up letting him go. But I'm telling you this story so that you know I'm a human being like you are. We are all prone to this, and it is subtle. It is subtle. You say, how is keeping him the praise of men? Because we stay on the list, which brings the praise of men. The praise of men takes all kinds of forms of being popular with your friends at school, of being popular with people in your neighborhood, being popular with the people you work with, of being popular with your family, and having all of your family, your cousins, your uncles, and everybody speak well of you and hug you and love being with you at Thanksgiving and whenever. You know, it's very subtle, my friends. It can creep up on you. And I know this because it has crept up on me at times. No, we have to make a decision if we're going to really walk with Christ and serve Christ. It is the approval of God that is foremost and uppermost in our life, not the approval of men. I think I told you that I wasn't able to attend my own mother's funeral because her sister, my aunt, wouldn't let me come to her house for the Shiva that was being held for the funeral of my mother. Now, I know what I needed to do. I've told you this, to be able to come to her house. All I had to do was to say, you know what, to her and her husband, I made a mistake. Jesus is not the Messiah. You do not need to believe in him as a Jewish person to go to heaven. If you refuse to believe in him as a Jewish person, you will not go to hell. That's all I needed to do. She would have sent a limo to meet me at the airport. But I couldn't do that and honor the Lord. I would have loved to have their approval and their affirmation and their acclamation. But I couldn't do that and stay true to the Lord. And all of us face these situations. When I walk around my neighborhood, there's people in my neighborhood who ignore me because I'm Jewish and because I've trusted Christ. And that makes me a traitor in their mind. And they don't want anything to do with me. My wife once asked me, does that bother you? And I said, it would bother you. Yeah, I said, yeah, I mean, I don't like people not to like me. I don't like people to be unfriendly to me. I don't like to wave to people and have them not wave back to me and ignore me. Nobody who knew likes that. Nobody, no normal person does. But I said to her, Brenda, the only way that I can get the approval of these people is to deny what I believe and what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus. And that's a price I cannot pay. So I'm just going to have to live with the disapproval of men. Now, I don't want to leave you with the impression that I've always gotten this right. I haven't. There have been some cases where, looking back, I'm afraid I've let the praise of man had more effect on me than I wish I'd have had. And I've taken these to the Lord and I've asked to be forgiven. But looking back, they were subtle. And I realize now how sneaky this force is in our heart. And I urge you to examine, ask the Lord to examine your heart like I do and say, Lord, show me if there's any loving the approval of men more than the approval of God in my life. Show me where it is, where I may be doing this, Lord, so that I can go in and fix this and not do it. And I urge you and I urge me, this is essential. I've got a quote from Lyman Beecher as I close. Great preacher. And speaking of this unpopularity that he had and this lack of approval that he had from his preacher buddies, here's what he said, and I quote, "As for me, I cared for it no more than for the wind. I knew where I was and what God had called me to do." Now watch, and that was that. Exclamation point, close quote. I knew what God wanted me to do. I cared about their lack of approval about as much as I did the wind. What a wonderful quote. And what a wonderful attitude. Like Paul said, I came to Thessalonica and I wasn't seeking the approval of men, the approval of God who tests my heart. May God help us. All of us, me, you. May God help us to see the praise of men for what it is, and to not let it ever take precedence over the praise of God in our life. Let's pray. And let's take a quiet moment and ask the Lord right now. He tests the heart. Paul said this. To test our heart right now and show us if there's any area where we have chosen to serve the approval of man instead of the approval of God. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive us. I ask you to forgive me for the many times that we're tempted to let the approval of men be the utmost value in our life. And Lord, I know you understand because we're human. We don't like people not to like us. We don't like people to shun us. We don't like people to ostracize us. And so we're all tempted. Lord, forgive us. And examine our hearts, Lord, each and every day. And help us to seek the approval of God, as Paul said, not the approval of men. For you're the one who tests our heart. Help us not to allow this to be a snare in our life, where we choose bad things and where we make bad decisions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. You know, I'll close with one quick story. When I was a brand new Christian and I was working at the Good News Mission in Arlington, I was the janitor and I ran I was a gopher. I ran errands and whatever. Anyway, one day I had to take money over to and deposit it in the bank, donations that had been sent in to the Good News Mission. The bank was about a block and a half away. And so I walked over there and I gave it to the cashier. And I wanted to say a word for Christ to the cashier, but there were a lot of people around and I was intimidated. And I didn't want to look foolish or silly or face the approbation of these people. And so I shrank back and I didn't do it. And I was walking back to the Good News Mission and I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit. I mean, to the point that I almost couldn't keep walking. And I was embarrassed that I had let the love of people do this. And I turned around and walked back, stood in line, went to that same teller and said to her, you know, I was in here a little while ago, made a deposit, and I wanted to say something to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I was too afraid of the people around and what they might think. And that was so wrong of me. And so I have a track, I'd like to give it to you, that tells you about how you can trust Christ and go to heaven. And that woman thought I had lost my cotton picking mind. She did. She looked at me like I was crazy. Who would do this? But I had to. I was so convicted. And so, friends, would to God that you, me, all of us, have that conviction so deep in our heart that we never, ever let the fear of man and the praise of man derail us from sharing Christ and standing for Christ. God bless you. Have a great week. And Lord willing, in the creek don't rise, we'll see you next week on Live with